The subject of trust is very complex, and it comes to us from a deep place of concern within ourselves about how to live with ourselves in trust, and how to live with the world in trust. And this deep place of concern comes from the division that exists between what the mind tells us and what the heart feels. And so we need to understand what the source of trust is, because it doesn't come from the mind. Our minds are geared to interpret external reality according to objective facts and according to what we have been taught to believe about what's going on. These two things are very important. We have a consideration based on how we've been educated and what we've been taught as children to consider what is an objective fact, what is objective reality. And so our minds are attuned to that way of looking at life, looking at reality. And that's helpful in many cases. Certainly the whole history of science is based on that perception entirely. And the advancement of knowledge in certain areas is based on that perception entirely. But the mind is not the location or the source of trust. The mind is an interpreter of objective reality as we know it according to the standards that we have learned, our standards of assessing what is real and what do we deem is not real. Trust has nothing to do with that. Trust has to do with an innate perception that comes from a deeper place that's built in to our sacred identities as beings that have been created with a soul and as part of the universal oneness. Trust doesn't come from thinking about trust, except in the case where one needs to encounter the challenge of doubt and deal with that with the help of the mind, but not exclusively with the help of the mind. In relation to doubt, both the mind and the heart need to engage and to convey to the person in doubt what the choice is. What is the choice? How does one make a choice between doubt and trust? But putting aside that question for the moment, the place to look for trust is within your own heart and within your own connection with the oneness of life. Because at its root, trust is in the goodness of life, by whatever name that goodness is called. Trust is in the perception that life is meaningful, that it's whole, that it's purposeful, and that behind it there is an essential goodness. So in any particular circumstance, it may seem that it's hard to find what that goodness might be. In any particular circumstance, it may be that it looks like there's no place to find goodness anywhere. At least that's what the mind says. I look around myself, says the mind, and I see people doing terrible things to the earth, or I see people doing terrible things to each other. And I look for trust and I don't find it because I'm in the presence of something that seems just wrong. So that's the place of encountering the challenge of shifting from the mind's observation about objective reality and the facts as it has been taught to perceive the facts, and shifting to the heart's knowing of something else that's more in the realm of the invisible. But the invisible is not necessarily less real than the visible. It's just less visible, but that doesn't make it less real. So in the ordinary encountering that we do, within our individual lives and in looking at what's happening on the world stage and some of the things that we feel should not be going on. The mind and the heart have to be joined with a sense of choice. That is, you, as the one who is embodied with both a mind and a heart, have a choice to make about where you're going to place your sense of reality, in what. The problem that many of us face is that even though in principle we know, we say there is a choice, when confronted by what we call hard, cold facts, sometimes we don't feel there is a choice. This is not true. There is always a choice, because there is always an invisible reality behind the appearance of what seems wrong, or that it shouldn't be happening, or that things are going in the wrong direction, or that things are hopeless, etc. There's always a choice. The foundation of trust, as I said, does not lie in the mind. It lies in the perception of the eternal. If you, in your life, or in any life in which you have existed, have had any connection with a sense of the eternal, whether we call that eternal God, or unity, or a higher power, or the goodness of life, all of that is beyond time and beyond the mind. If you as a soul have had any contact with that to any degree, it will stay with you because it's indelible. That contact with the eternal lives inside you as a presence and as a knowing. It lives inside you as the knowing that behind life is the power of love and the power of goodness. And sometimes knowing that doesn't make any sense to the mind. It doesn't make any sense because our minds are looking around and seeing things that don't appear to contain goodness. But the heart holds that perception of the eternal. And the love that can be found within you can activate your own perception of the love that exists within life. Now that may sound strange. The love within you can activate your own sense of the goodness of life. But look at it this way. Where did your love come from? How did it get to be in you? Why is it there at all? Do you ever ask yourself that question? I don't think most of us do. We don't question that there's love in us. We're grateful for it. We're glad about it. But we don't say to ourselves, where did it come from? Why? Because it seems so fundamental. It seems so basic. We grow up, we're born, we're taken care of, sometimes with difficulty, sometimes with good fortune in relation to childhood experiences. We don't say, where does the love in me come from? But the love in you comes from your being, your essential being. It's the tributary of your soul. It's the part of you that is so basic because you were created with love. It's just there. Now I know it gets covered over, and I know that it sometimes seems to be absent in life and in times of loneliness or times of emptiness. One can feel bereft of love, both inside and outside. Now that can happen. But the essential quality of how you came to be loving, we don't think about that because it's just there. And the same thing is true of compassion. Compassion has to do with the feeling of caring for others in the presence of suffering. Compassion is a natural quality of the heart. Compassion creates the desire, if somebody needs help, to want to help them. If somebody is suffering in our presence or in our knowledge, to want to help relieve their suffering. It doesn't mean, because there are lots of other external circumstances that get in the way, that we will do a particular thing to relieve that person, although we might go out of our way quite a lot. And we know there are lots of examples of people who have done heroic things at great personal cost in the name of compassion. But the presence of compassion and the presence of love within you is given as a basic fundamental of how you were created. And when you contact that, you can begin to feel, because it is connected with the love that exists within life, that love that's fundamental in you, that desires to express in compassion and the relief of suffering, that love that's in you is in life. And so your mind may not understand this. Your mind may think, well, I'm the only one who feels love and other people around me are not particularly loving and I wish they were. But once you know your own capacity to love, once you know it as independent of circumstance and you know that it's just there, then you know it's elsewhere as well. Then you begin to see it elsewhere as well. Once you touch that touchstone of individual divine expression of love, then you begin to know it's outside of you as well, because in reality there's no difference. It's part of the great pool, the great ocean, the great river of love. That's part of you, the way you were created. So it's in you and it's beyond you at the same time. These are the ways to locate trust within yourself. And the consciousness of the eternal is something that just is. For many people, it's not something that's thought about. It's not something that forms a religious conscious pursuit. The sense of the goodness of life can be present in anyone, irrespective of what their religion is, or if they have none at all. The sense of the goodness of life. So let me go back to the question of how to engage with doubt, since the alternative to trust is variously called doubt or fear. That's the alternative to trust. Now, doubt and fear are not the same thing. Doubt is a question mark that we hold in our minds. So that doesn't mean we're afraid. It's just a question mark. For instance, you have an event happen to you, an accident or a sudden illness, or somebody close to you dies, or something unforeseen happens in your own work life, something that creates great difficulty for you. So doubt can occur easily. What does this mean? How do I hold this? And that's a question mark. And it's a good question mark. It's good to wonder, to think about, what does this circumstance that I find challenging or difficult mean? What do I do with it? How do I look at it? And then inside, one begins to feel around, what are the possible choices? I'm dealing with a challenging situation. So what are the possible choices? Well, one of the choices is to remain in doubt and not know. Not know how to look at something. And that's a fine choice too, because doubt can be held as a sacred and valuable experience to go through until something that's deep in you gives you an answer to your own question, how to look at this. But the reason it's important to know that there's a difference between the interpretation of reality, between the mind and the heart, is that without that knowledge, one doesn't know that there's another place to look for an answer to the question mark, how do I deal with, how do I interpret this reality? Without knowing that, you don't know there's another place to look. Each of you has a beautiful heart, the residence of your soul, that can tell you what's true about life. Each embodied being has a beautiful heart that has purity at its core, and that is a messenger of the truths of the soul. And those messages can become quite covered over, so that the mind and its version of reality, its version of facts and objective reality, seems to be the only thing left. And then what happens is, over time, one begins to get very tired of that, very tired of the mind being the only thing left. And so there begins to be a search for something deeper that has another version of reality. But for a while, that can seem to be the case. So we can live with doubt and pray to God to achieve clarity that takes us into a greater sense of certainty. We can pray for days, months, years. We can pray for a lifetime to achieve clarity, to answer the question of what is real. And we do. We do pray silently or with words. We pray for that. Fear is something else as an alternative to trust. Fear doesn't leave us in the place of an open question mark where you can go in one of two directions and it's kind of neutral territory. Fear takes us away from having a choice at all. Fear closes down the possibility of choice. And so fear becomes a negative influence on the possibility of gaining trust, regaining trust, finding your heart, because in itself, as an energy, it creates a desire to run, to disengage from that which is being looked at, to not go near it, and so on. So fear takes you entirely out of the realm of doubt into an enclosure that's sealed off, as long as you're in fear. To the extent that you're in fear, you are sealed off from having a choice and from being open to your own heart. And fear, as a negative influence, becomes more amplified by other energies that wish to and have the intention of preventing that greater degree of contact between you and your deeper self from taking place. So fear not only takes you out of the realm of choice, but becomes a microcosm where other influences can have more of an effect. So the choice for trust is not only a choice to find and locate the deeper heart within yourself, but it's also a choice to stay out of fear, just because fear closes off all options. The important thing, the most important thing about what I'm talking about today is the understanding that your own heart in its deepest layers is impeccable. It retains its purity of knowing that which your own soul knows. It retains its purity of knowing what is real and what God is, who God is. In whatever frame of reference is natural to you, your own heart in its deepest layers is impeccable. So it's worthy to know that and to do what is needed to get past the coverings, because what's there is shining and pure and untainted and unchangeable and remains the source of trust eternally, because it doesn't change. The source of trust does not change. Your own deepest heart does not change. The coverings over it have been added on through life experiences in which the mind's interpretation of reality has taken you away from the heart's truth. But those are just coverings. Those are not the truth itself. So, I say to you, until trust becomes an indelible, unerasable perception in your conscious, everyday, waking life, something that you don't even have to think about, something that you just know is there in the way that you know your capacity to love is there, that love exists is there. The trust can be felt on that level of unquestioning certainty. And until that happens, then one has to choose trust. And the choice can be made by finding your heart and its own truths again and again, and knowing that the choice exists in every situation, because the appearance of things is not necessarily the truth. The appearance of things is the appearance of things. It's what the mind conveys to us as being real. The truth includes the cosmos, the spiritual reality of why things are and how they are. And for that, the heart is a better guide. May all beings come to know the source of trust within themselves. May all come to understand that no matter what circumstances in life are being dealt with, the presence of love and compassion can exist within the self in relation to that circumstance and in relation to oneself at all times. And that love and that compassion can lead to the passageway, the pathway, to regain trust again, because it leads into that love and that compassion, leads into the deeper layers of the heart. And in that deeper layer is the eternal, unshakable, impeccable, pure source of trust. May all beings be blessed. Thank you for joining me in this podcast and this videocast. Namaste.